he's not quite a coffee asshole, but he's still an asshole about coffee.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
This is the Journey for Java podcast, a show about coffee for people who enjoy coffee and like listening to stories about people, places, and things involving coffee.
Seriously, only an asshole would make it this complicated.
It's the Journey for Java podcast.
You want some coffee?
Yeah, make it a fresh pot.
A Brenton on Tour podcast show.
Fresh pot!
About what else? Coffee.
Coffee is the number one drink in the world. Everybody drinks it. Even little kids in Mexico drink coffee.
Well, I'm not a little kid in Mexico, okay?
Here's BD.
How you doing, buddy? What's happening? No,
fully caffeinated.
Fully caffeinated, hanging out. It's the journey for Java. What do you got?
Look at this. This is what? Wrong.
What's it say?
So, well, my dear fellow bandmate, Todd, from Tuke. This was a birthday gift. Could this not be the best for a coffee loving? You know, you can never have the right size of mug. But this thing weighs about 5 pounds. But I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, it was your birthday. It was your birthday just like a couple days ago, and today is like your anniversary. Yeah. And everything's going on. It's busy. It's nuts. And you got a great birthday gift, and you're spending time with me. And it's just my birthday a little while ago, so you know it's good. Thanks for coming along, buddy. I appreciate it. Now,
great to always. I mean, we talk all the time anyway, and we talk a lot about coffee. But why should we just selfishly talk amongst ourselves? Why don't we share it?
That's right.
With other people.
This, everybody, is Brent Fitz. Now, people are asking, I know that name. Where do I know that guy? Outside of being on the Kids on the Escalator podcast 100 times already and 50 other podcasts a week that he's on, old friend of mine. Here we are. Plays for this this little band. You got this little band. You got that little band right there that you play with that is all right. And you got this little band here that you play with, and that's all right. And then sometimes, you know, you do some playing on your own. And there's a bit of that, too. So that's Brent Fitz. Good friend of mine, slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, and drummer for Tuke. And today, we're not going to talk about any of it. We're going to talk about coffee, which is the best way to do it. Because I'm sure you're tired of talking music every single day of your life.
Yeah, but right now. The best thing is the music bone leads to the coffee bone. If it wasn't for the music, there wouldn't have been so many great experiences around the world drinking coffee. So totally. I'm always thankful about the music because, I mean, I have been touring since the late 80s. Now, there was a lot of coffee drank late nights, you know, coffee shop cigarettes and smoky coffee shop, you know, the white coffee cup with lots of sugar and cream in my coffee back in the day. And then as I started to go away from, you know, playing in the prairies in Canada or whatever, and then eventually ending up on the other far, you know, four corners of the rest of the world, traveling and playing music and drinking coffee, then I sort of figured out, wait a minute, I can actually play music. And then all I'm doing is feeding my coffee addiction. So this is really what it's all about. I play music, but now I've found a way to enjoy coffee. And you know what? So have you, because you've been touring a lot lately too. And, you know, we actually have a lot of insight together because, you know, you and I have really connected so much on our favorite, you know, we do love coffee and we do love music and we do both of that at the same time, but we've both also been to a lot of great places around the planet. And, isn't it cool to text each other and go, hey, have you been to that place in Norway yet?
Well, the great thing is I love it when you say that you haven't, and then you're going to be there in 3 days. And it's like, you know what? You should probably go there because it's absolutely a must do. And then you do. And we're speaking, of course, of Tim Wendelboe Coffee, which is my favorite coffee in the whole world. Those guys have been awesome to have me there and to be able to share that side of it with you, which is great because you're the one that was really pushing the agenda for me to join coffee. And one of the key components to me, eventually when I, you know, I had lots of factors in my journey, for Java, as we, you know, as we have decided that this portion of the podcast is called The Journey for Java. But, there was a lot of people that helped me there. And, the cool thing was, is that once I joined it, you were like, this is like, here you are. Welcome to it. And I was super stoked to start that side of it. And I went right to, you know, black, right to the espresso, right all the way in on that side of it. I didn't kind of wait around on the other side, but you were already there. And I never understood your, like just connection to it until I got connected to it. And then we all got connected around the world, and we've drank coffee together in Austria or in Switzerland, in Australia, just by fluke, by touring. And it brings every single person together. So where I want to go with this, because you're familiar with my journey's in infancy, I'm still only a couple of years in, but what was the very first moment for you where you're like, I'm in coffee, I'm in. Was it Winnipeg? Was it backstage at a show? Where was Brent Fitz in on coffee?
Well, it probably was just breaking out of the everything I did. Like I said, back in the early touring days, there was lots of coffee. There just wasn't as much. And not to discredit coffee in a coffee shop or a restaurant, but, you know, like a standalone coffee shop other than a donut shop. I didn't get to go really into that until I think 99, when I started to go over to Europe and play a lot more. So I sort of figured it out when the Europeans started to hit me up with espresso shots. All my European friends were like, hey, have you had this coffee? And I probably was in Sweden and you know, that would have been a good first place was definitely over in Europe. But South America followed really quick too. So the Argentinians and the Brazilians, and I drank a lot of coffee from, I don't know, starting like maybe in 1999. That's when my journey for Java got fine-tuned, was South America and Europe. And then I just sort of realized, you know, you go back home to Los Angeles, where I was living back in those days, and there's a lot of great coffee shops there. And now that I live in Vegas, and I've been there many years, you know, of course, there's so many coffee options, and a standalone coffee shop is such a common thing everywhere, where before it was a little more, you know, say even 10 years ago, you know, Starbucks has been around a long time as a brand that you see everywhere, as a standalone, you know, known for coffee kind of place, which of course is now all around the world. But even in Vegas, like there's a couple good, really high-end coffee shops that have like several locations, and it's good. It's not chain type coffee where it's, you know, you're dealing with, you know, like a product that's not, you know, us snobby coffee people that, you know, kind of go, hey, you know, that place is good. Oh, and they actually have a couple locations. But what about like, Brent, Vancouver is a pretty good spot too. I think I remember, you know, even in the 90s when I was touring back in, you know, early 90s, Vancouver had a lot of hip stuff going on, and I wasn't as good with the coffee, but I was definitely realizing that, you know, learning. Hey, I learned to drink coffee from my grandparents when I was a kid. My parents didn't, you know, put coffee on me, but it was my grandparents, and we'd go over there, you know, like on Sunday or something. But you and I've always joked and talked about, like, you know, what's a real purist's, what are they putting in their coffee? Well, when I was younger, we made instant coffee or some sort of brewed coffee that had, well, you always put milk in it. You always put sugar in it.
Right.
And then eventually years later, you kind of start to experience good coffee. And especially if you go to a South America or a Europe or India or, you know, any of these great places, Australia.
We were in Australia. When you were playing with Slash there, on the last tour, and we were kind of having a bit of a chat there, and you're like, we got to come here with me. You got to go check this place out. What was the name of the place that we went to? You just posted it the other day.
Been there. So that was a gamble.
Yeah. You're cutting out just a little bit, buddy.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
There you go. That's better.
All right. Yeah. But you know what? Most Australians don't even go to Perth. the western side of the country. So even the fact that you and I, as foreign visitors, like, we were in Perth. I mean, I've been, and you have, you know, to like a lot of the other parts of, you know, Melbourne and Australia, Sydney, of course, Brisbane, Adelaide, but to go to Perth was pretty awesome. So yeah, we,
two birds, one stone is what I had in, I think, Adelaide, but in Perth, you cut out, at the coffee shop part. Sorry about that. What was the name of that place that we went to?
Voodoo.
Voodoo. So we went to Voodoo. That's where I had my first cortado ever. So you were like, you got to try the cortado. And and Brent's like a huge proponent of the cortado. And it was like, I was like, all right, I'll try it. I'm not a big milk guy or sugar guy. And it was just so funny because I was like, everyone I know always just loaded up on milk and sugar and cream and sugar. That's why I did a post this week about it, on my Instagram, where it was like, you know, I do see people putting two creams and two sugars in all their milk, and then I just don't trust them to ever make a decision in life ever again. And people are all over me going, hey, whatever, you're picking on the double doubles and all this stuff. I'm like, exactly, just as a gag. But I did have the cortado, and I just got the Breville Barista Espresso. I'm trying to learn how to do lattes and things like that. So there is a bit of that, but I find it very thick. I want the core coffee taste. So I want that just coffee taste. I don't want the rest of it, but I really enjoyed the cortado. So is that you go between all of them? You can float between them all or what?
Okay. So a cortado, the reason, and I won't take credit for, I didn't invent the cortado, and by any means, why a cortado? What is it? Well, the equal parts milk and espresso that's in it, because it's a smaller actual drink, is that was turned on to me by another coffee friend of mine who, in another band, we would go out and have, you know, basically same questing. Another band that I toured with, all those guys would every morning get up and we'd, you know, be looking on our phones and Googling for great coffee shops in that city. Now, I was drinking lattes, no sugar, drinking lattes all the time. And I realized how much of a commitment it is to have a latte in the morning and then have more coffees in the day. And you're just drinking a lot of milk. So my friend said, well, you should just drink cortados. And I said, well, what is the cortado? Of course, ever since that day, which has been well over a decade, I've always switched to a cortado because there's a lot less milk content. So I love espresso, but from what I'm told, a lot of baristas and a lot of people in the coffee circles, the cortado was sort of like a nice drink for baristas while they're working. And so I figured if it's good enough for the baristas while they're at work, then that would be a good, you know, that's my drink. But it's also kind of been my test. It's my litmus test for a lot of coffee shops. And if you actually go into a coffee shop and you ask for a cortado and they don't know what it is, you should leave. You're probably in trouble.
Yeah. Well, and you're the one that told me about the, you know, if you go into a coffee shop and they don't have a certain level of machine, you know what I mean? Like the espresso machine and all the rest of it to make it. If they haven't spent the money on the machine, walk out. So that's exactly, in essence, I just did it a couple of weeks ago around the corner from my house because somebody was raving about this new place that opened up. They got desserts, they got this, they got that, and they got great coffee. And I walked in and they had, I just bought the Breville Barista Express. It's perfect for home, whatever. But they had the lowest level Breville in the back. And when I went to her and said, hey, you know, what do you got for coffee? And I was looking and she didn't even know how to use the machine. So guess who walked out? I was just like, I can't do it. I got to go. I got to be that guy. And it was just a funny kind of moment. So you're the one that taught me that. So that's good to know that the baristas kind of lean on that side of it. Because, you know, in Australia, our buddy has Death Before Decaf there. Hey, Treadmo, what's up? He took me to Death Before Decaf in Australia. And that was a cool little place. I got to stay. Where's Andrew live? Where's Treadwell live?
Oh, Brisbane? Oh, Treadwell took you to in Brisbane.
Yeah. So Treadwell, okay. Hey Treadwell, what's up, buddy? So he took me to Brisbane. And it was really cool. But you know, the decaf kind of idea, like I'm like, what if you want to drink coffee all day, but then you You don't want to get hammered with the caffeine. So there's all this kind of stuff that you learn as you're coming through this journey. Can you drink coffee all day, or are you kind of like, I got to shut it down after like six?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, the morning is to complete sentences. First and foremost, you got to have, that's my safety blanket is right. I'm leaning towards, if I'm at home, not on tour, I'm just going to make something that's going to taste good, but I like something quick. Yeah. So I won't lean towards, and I don't have a standalone machine at home that's making, you know, espressos. So what I do is I truly believe, keep it simple.
Yeah.
French press is pretty good. Now, if you can do a stovetop, like a mocha pot, good too. Takes a little longer. So I actually love just having good beans, and I suss out beans all the time. I have so many friends around the planet that are always like hipping me. Yeah. Like right now I have right from Colombia, from some friends that go to Colombia regularly. So I've got this on hand. This has been my French press in the last couple of days. But the initial morning should be, and you know, I might use a little bit of cream in the morning, but as the day goes on, I'm thinking about, hey, maybe I'll go check out if I'm home, if I'm in Vegas, we'll say, or if I'm in LA or someplace where I know a lot of good coffee shops, I'm sort of planning out my day around, like, it's nuts. It's like a sickness. Like I can't
do that's what I'm doing now.
On my phone. And yeah. Is that what you do? Like I'm looking
that's
for,
what I'm
I haven't
doing.
Been well, place yet.
I just had Tom from Vancouver Coffee Snob on a couple weeks ago. I think I told you we did this Coffee Snobs and Asshole podcast where we broke down like what the coffee snob would say, like coffee snobs and assholes would say about this, but what would they say about that? You know, just a funny kind of like breaking it down so someone we can dumb it down. So the coffee snob's going to tell you to spend $3,000 on a great machine. But to the average person, they can spend, say, $500. Like, it's just an interesting kind of dynamic that we went back and forth with. And yeah, like it's a very interesting dynamic because as I go around, I literally set my days up when I'm on tour now, just try to find coffee and film it. And I never did that before. And I remember spending, like, I was with you in Vegas and of course you don't drink. And I, at that time had drank, but I was like, you know, I'm going to spend the whole weekend not drinking or anything. I'm going to go with Fitz and we're going to go around. And it was always about coffee. So even at that point, I wasn't like on that coffee journey, but we would just go around. Now that I'm on tour and I'm not drinking, my whole world is changed to coffee
you
and
mean
all the rest
you're not drinking alcohol but you've just switched it
yeah I coffee. Switched it to caffeine yeah so but yeah. My days go to that kind of like that sort of like get up and it's like, where is the best absolute coffee shop that I can find in Austria or Switzerland, or Fitz told me to go here, or Frank told mm-hmm. me to go here, or someone told me to go here, and getting that sort of like that fix. And it's such a great feeling when you find it. And then you go in and you kind of, you know, the great thing about coffee is that it connects people around the world. So when you tell them you're on this journey and you tell them that you're trying to find the best coffee in the world, as soon as you tell them that, all the coffee shops just go, come. Now,
I know
you get it a lot touring with, you know, you tour with the largest, you know, arguably the guitar player in the world ever, or one of them, top five. And you know, that's going to come
with coffee too.
He loves coffee too. And that's going to come with, a good substantial amount of like perks. And that, what I mean by that is people always want to take you out. People want to go. And when you get the good coffee people, like we used to get the good wine people or get the good whiskey people, when you get the good coffee people,
I think one of the, if I can recall, on the last tour, and it probably included, the last tour probably included over 50 countries. So, and we're talking, that's continent jumping. That's going one day you're in Korea and then you're in Australia. I mean, it's far reaching. So, but I remember, and I did do Tim Wendell Bowe in Norway, thanks to you, on that trip.
That's great.
And then on that trip, you know, the checks that I checked off as far as great places was just unbelievable, because a lot of times what's really cool is to repeat and go to countries that you've been several times, and then you get the real special blessing, which is, okay, I've been to Colombia 5 times, but this time I'm going to go to some other places. You know, like, that's really cool, is to actually have those multiple London visits and Moscow and you know, you just add these incredible cities, and then the incredible fact that you can go to all these different coffee shops. So, but the Colombia trip that I did on a whole South American run. So we would have done maybe 5 countries in South America, but I had a friend that I met while I was there who said, hey, I'm going to take you off the beaten path. So again, you know, this is what's great, is find somebody that knows the local spots and is friendly enough that can take you and knows to, like, just give you the wow factor. So I went to a place in Colombia, and it never happened to me before the experience of, so we had a cortado there, and they had a Seneso machine, which was interesting for in Colombia. Seneso is an American offshoot of like a La Marzocco type machine. And I was really impressed that even in Colombia, they had a Seneso. Anyway, so this shop was great. And they do education at the shop. And it was like, we had to drive somewhere that you would never find it in some local neighborhood. But what we did, and then we had a little bit of coffee siphon, you know, with the burner and everything. And, you know, we had it. So I'm always trying, like, I'll start with a cortado and then I'll try some other things in the same shop. But what they had was they had the coffee, the rinds from actual coffee beans, and they were soaked in a maraschino cherry, sort of like a sweet, some sort of, like, looked like a little red sauce or something, but it was like a, whatever it was, and I'd never had this before. And they said, hey, the little rind that you eat while you're in between your sips. And that was like, I have just found the greatest accompaniment, the accoutrement to my coffee obsession. Because, you know, in Europe or somewhere where you're always going to get a little nice, I don't know, little biscuit or pastry, something beside your coffee, which is fine and cool. But these coffee rinds that were marinated was incredible. So I've yet to figure out, and I've asked a bunch of people about it, but so I haven't been able to connect a dot as to what was that and what did I experience. But that was next level. That was a next level in Colombia.
When you get those, and you get, I mean, that happens from people in the know, right? And that's what you wanted. That's what you want to get. You want to get that connection, which, you know, we have the benefit of a little bit, which. But everyone can find it. Listen, if you're listening to this, just because, like, Brent's in a band, I travel and run concerts. But if you're, it's like anyone else. If you're passionate about something, you're gonna, you know, if you're a craft beer guy and you show up in Ireland or England and you're like, I'm searching for the best craft beer in the world, it doesn't matter who you are. People are gonna be like, I'm gonna take you there. I'm gonna show you this. And I'm gonna show you that. So don't let it just be that, you know, this is just band guys and people that tour and stuff like that. You can find it if you want it. Just go get it. You know what I mean? So it's something.
Well, coffee's never killed anybody. And man, it promotes good well-being. So, you know, going on tour and caffeinating. I mean,
yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I can't stress enough is how coffee connects so many people around the world. So people are amazed when the coffee podcast, I'm like, listen, the most downloaded podcast I still have to this day is Tim Wendelboe. You and Ray are right in there when we had Ray Lejeune on, and you guys are right in there. But my top 5 downloaded episodes of all time, and I'm approaching a substantial download number, it's Tim Wendelboe. He's still winning. And that's because people just find this coffee episode from around the world and keep listening to it. So it's like, it's really, really funny. Now, so
let's talk about that location. So that particular coffee shop that you and I have been to, is, again, it's almost like it's in a small neighborhood. It's not in the downtown center of the city where you would just stumble onto it because you know were in a hotel and you walk down the street from your fancy. No, you need to know somebody that knows how to find that coffee shop. That's what I love. It's a little bit of an adventure. And
It's an amazing place. You have to go search for it. And then, you know, the one thing that you discover on these, and for anyone listening, obviously everyone's, you know, you got a Starbucks card, Brent. So you go in wherever you can go in.
I'm not going to look. Yeah. I'm, I'm drinking Starbucks right now. It's about the third coffee I've had today. But just in my travels, I stopped. Now, I got a flat white. By the way, don't let Starbucks ever offer you, if you order a flat white, which is an Australian drink. Okay. Right. Everyone's wondering, why does flat, what's a flat white on the Starbucks menu? Look, it should only be tall. It's not a grande or a venti drink. It's a small, it's almost like a cortado. But yeah, I'm drinking Starbucks right now.
One of the things that I, it's an AeroPress cafe. So people are like, what's AeroPress? It's basically you have to make the effort to, you have to make the effort to want to sit and wait for your coffee to be made. You know, it's not, it's like any other cafe. It's like people drive in, they go through drive-throughs. That's what we're accustomed to over here. But over there, not so much. Over there, it's, you've got to, wait it out. You got to wait. You got to wait for the AeroPress is like perfectly temperature. You've got to go in and they have the, it's a full AeroPress cafe. So you have to wait for them to pour the water, grind the beans, do it all for you right there. But then you get like the best cup of coffee you've ever had.
Okay, where is that again?
That's in Oslo at Tim Wendelbo. And it's full
AeroPress.
Yeah, that's a full AeroPress cafe. So,
okay.
I mean, that takes a commitment because people are like, no, I just want to walk in and out and get this and that. But if you take the time to sit there and do it, but it's one of my favorite experiences ever. And to be able to do what you said, you got to find a way, you got to find a way to get there and find them. And for me, finding that journey everywhere is some of the best fun I've ever had.
Of course. But, I've also had, Florida, in some of the lower states like Miami, you can find, in some of these little, off the beaten path places, people just are so used to making coffee all day long and good coffee. And of course, regional. So a lot of, I'm just trying to think the last time, when was I in Florida a couple years ago? Yeah. But I walked in and I thought, the coffee machine, the machine was probably, it looked a little rickety. But I knew that the lady that was going to make the coffee there had just made a bunch of killer coffees all day long. And that's all they do. So I'm literally drawing a blank. I'm spacing out lately. Maybe I've drank too much coffee. But it's what am I trying to say? What's the... In Florida, why am I, wouldn't be like, not Puerto Rican, but, there's always, condensed milk. Oh my gosh. It's so good though. And it could just be in a little styrofoam cup and it could be really, really strong and it can be just the perfect cup of coffee that's made even like, okay. Let me get back on track. Like in New York City, sometimes a styrofoam cup coffee in New York City is the best too. I don't know what it is about certain regions, but standing in Italy at a coffee, I mean, there's a million places in Italy. And all people always ask, it's like, where's the best coffee? Italy? Well, the culture is amazing there for drinking coffee. And of course, it's very strong and very espresso. I always enjoy strong coffee standing up in Italy, and you're just kind of like going about your day and you have a quick shot and then you move on. But, it's more about there, people are moving fast and people aren't driving cars. They're walking around, and of course sitting and enjoying coffee is great too. You go around the entire world. That's part of the social aspect of enjoying coffee in environments. I mean, here, I got to show you this.
Check this out. I'll show you this for a minute. This was Tim Wendelbo. We'll do it without sound just for our people, but it's
that's the AeroPress? Oh yeah,
cool. That's the AeroPress Cafe. And it's quite something. It's you see what she's doing with everything. They have a very specific they grind the beans. This is the cafe. This is what you've gotta, you see. It's basically
I've been there.
They're grinding the beans. That's the cafe. Right there. And they let me in. This is when I told them I was on this journey, they were totally like, yeah, we'll come in and give you as much space as you need to do whatever you want. And It was really great. You can see they got the little water there that's perfectly temperatured. Like it's like you just see how she's doing it. It's really, really cool. You know, they're going to fill it up. They give you like a very specific, like only mix it three times. So anyway, you're gonna have to watch this, everybody, on YouTube.
I need to get an AeroPress too.
Yeah. You know, it was good, though, you don't have one yet.
The Varia. So that Varia that, of course, you were kind enough to turn me on to kind of is the traveler's dream, because that thing fits in your luggage. And if you're traveling to different cities or countries, and if you're in a hotel room. So what I like to do is when I set up shop, say if I'm like recording in LA or somewhere and I have to be in a hotel for extended times, the worst thing you can see is you get in your hotel room in America, Canada, whatever, and you look and you see that drip coffee, just you're running. It's like, no, we're not doing that. But so I'm not even dealing with coffee in my room unless you can bring your own kettle and boil some water. And then the Varia is actually great because you can do a perfect French press in your room, just enough of a cup, and you know, bring your own beans. You can even go to Trader Joe's and get some, whatever, down the street, or just get some quick beans and you're kind of in business. But I do that all the time, is I sort of bring my own little, got my gadgets in my luggage and always have beans on me, or I've been gifted beans. The only thing is grinding. That's sometimes an issue, is, you know, you got to find somebody to grind them for you, or depending on.
That's the one time where if I'm touring and I've got that and I don't travel with the grinder in my road case and stuff. Anyway, in my road case, I've got like some gear for my office, but my hotel, like I actually don't travel with one for the hotel. I like to get out personally and go and find it. And so that's for me is a lot of fun. So, all right. So we're going to do a segment now called the Espresso Shot. We've been doing this on every episode so far, which basically a little bit of a hit where we in essence, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. You hit them as not necessarily as quickly as you can, but we're going to hit and run. It is the Espresso Shot. We're going to cover a few different grounds, no pun intended, and go from there. So, you ready for this?
Yeah. By the way, I have to clarify. I was trying to think, what was that coffee I was talking about in Miami? A Cubano.
Ah, the Cubano.
Cuban coffee.
Yes,
how am I drawing a blank? I mean,
that's some of the best coffee. That stuff will knock you on your ass. Yeah.
It's the best, you know. It's strong, and it's usually made in a small little styrofoam cup or something, and just a little bit of milk. Yeah, delicious. Anyway,
when I really was diving into that coffee journey in 2016, it was on the Shakira tour, and my buddy.
Oh, I bet they turned you on to some good stuff.
My buddy Javi, who was with me, was like, "We're in Miami. We're going around the corner. Cubano sandwich and the coffee," and it was just like, pfft. Anyways, it was quite something.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, it's the Espresso Shot with Brent Fitz from Slash, featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, and Took, and online, because he's on the internet everywhere. He's the star of the internet. Took talks the whole thing. Here we go. Yeah. It is the Espresso Shot with Brent Fitz. 3, 2, 1, favorite coffee region?
Australia, hands down. Easy to answer. But that includes New Zealand. So I'll just say Oceania. So down there, that's number one. Anyone wants to argue with me, I will fight you.
Favorite coffee brand? Must have at all times.
Well, okay. So if you're asking about something at home or something that I can keep or something that I tell people about that's like a... that's not necessarily a coffee person, I will always say, hey, just get yourself some Kicking Horse, which is Canadian.
Yeah.
Yep. Can get anywhere. So I'm buying that in Vegas, and I think people can buy that on Amazon, and that's going to be my go-to. Kicking Horse. Kick Ass is the one of the flavor
keeping,
I like. Dark Roast.
Keeping with that theme, someone that's come to see you the first time says, Brent Fitz, I heard you love coffee. How do I start in coffee? What do I do? I don't know what to do.
Well, you need to just, I'll take them to a place that has a good machine and has, you know, not everybody's going to love a cortado, but I'll try to get them away from their caramel macchiato, sugary dessert drink for starters, and, probably get you, to think about a French press. because I think French press at home for everybody who likes coffee. I mean, yeah, use your Keurig, use your whatever, brewed coffee. But I think it's just a better experience and a better, you know, flavorful coffee beverage. French press. Go buy one. It's like $20.
And what's your biggest coffee myth that you want to debunk?
It's funny. How many people always, this is so ridiculous, but you know, the people that like, I drink dark roast coffee and not as much light roast, but you know, if you're drinking light roast, yeah, there's the more, it's more caffeine, and a dark roast has less. So that's just whatever, you know, people are like, yes, we know that, but not everybody knows that. So if you want to drink more coffee, you can drink dark roast. You won't be as jacked up.
That, my friends, is the Espresso Shot with my guest, Brent Fitz. Woo-hoo. Well, there it is. So that's fun. That's some fun stuff for the internets. We'll get it out there. What are you drinking right now? You got a Starbucks?
Yeah, flat white. We just got out of the house because, you know, we're quarantined. And today I was like allowed to be out, even though I have to be tested tomorrow officially to go to the studio. But so Craig ordered online and we just, you know, we're not interacting with people. So we ordered it. That's why we went to Starbucks, because we were like, we can order it on the phone.
Sure.
Just walk into the store and pick it up. And away we go.
But yeah, a few more minutes we'll go here. And I want to just check in on some music stuff. We'll touch on a little bit as we go around this side of it. So Tuke's busy with online, with Tuke Talks and a few things like that. Obviously you're missing playing live. What are you doing personally right now to keep your sanity through all this? Obviously we're not touring, bands aren't touring. Everyone's trying to record and do different things, which is fine. But how's Brent Fitz keeping sane right now?
Well, you know, just to be, so, you know, the whole music industry that was functioning around the globe, of course, we're all left to find basically you're homebound, you're being creative in a very tight environment. So the hardest thing is to be okay with that, because like we were talking earlier, the traveling is built in. The, you know, we're gypsy pirates, we're drinking coffee and playing music, and then, you know, then nothing, then home and adapting. So, I mean, I'm good with being at home. I just had to learn how to be a little more of a better home person. And, you know, as a happily married guy, you know, being around my better half. And you know, what's funny is, just a side note, when I first met my wife, she was not a coffee drinker. Right. Somehow she's adapted into, like, she's not crazy about it. I mean, she'll just be happy with coffee without, why do I need to have a certain place? You know, Chrissy doesn't have the need to go to a specific place to be, you know, I'll just go down the street to the, you know, whatever place. But sure. So now that I've been home, we've actually utilized all of our devices in the house.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, I wish she'd, you know, join me in the love, but she just doesn't care. She's just like, no, I don't care about my car. So I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on at home. And, you know, I was thinking about getting, like, 'cause after you did your little Breville demo,
yeah,
I was thinking, wait a minute, maybe being at home and having something a little more next level is going to be a good thing. So I have been thinking and looking at a couple different, you know, just a step up from whatever, you know, something that's automatic and easy to get to. But you know, because I've been to so many places and I see these nice, you know, La Marzocco machines and all that, I was sort of like, well, maybe I got to drop a couple grand and get something, you know, at that level. So I don't know. I'm, you know, 'cause I'm not going on the road anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm still thinking maybe
I recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm having some fun at the dial in side of it. 'Cause you got to dial it in every single time. I mean, okay. So yeah. I'm at relatively entry level. It's got a built in grinder, which does a good job. You guys can check that out on my YouTube page, but it basically, it just gives, it's fun to play with, and it's kind of fun to dial in. Every single time you change the bean, you gotta kind of dial it in a little bit, but it's been a lot of fun to do. And I'm really enjoying it. And you know, the more these Zoom calls happen with people and the more these kind of things happen with people, you start seeing behind them. You start seeing what's going on. Like, some people are doing it from the kitchen, and I'm starting to notice coffee machines more. I'm starting to notice, like, hey, that guy's working on a Breville, or that guy's working on this, or he's working on a Gaggia, or he's working. It's really funny to see. I never noticed that stuff before, but now I'm noticing it all the time. So
I would imagine, like, what would be a good place to order, like in the States? Well, in Vancouver, where you are, Espresso Tech is an unbelievable.
That's where I went.
You know, go-to coffee place that has everything. And that's my North American, I think that's the coffee standalone, you know, location to order machines, and they have cupping there and all kinds of, you know, every device. So, and you are lucky that that's in Vancouver. So I bet you they're sold out of everything.
I agree. They are. It's like anything. It's like everything's kind of through the roof. Everyone's at home, so they're finding new things. So, you know, espresso machines are up, and people, you know, everything's up. There's going to be a whole bunch of new guitar players in about a year. There's going to be a whole bunch of new drummers, and V drum kits are through the roof, and you know, everything's just going to be. You're going to have this. I don't know, what do they have? The baby boomers, and then there are all these different people. You know, now you're going to have these COVID kids and people. Not just kids, but people that are going to come out as, like, you couldn't play guitar a year and a half ago, but now you're the backup guitar player in Green Day. Like, I'm just saying, it's just one of those things. Right. It's a funny thing that kind of goes through. So you get to still write music, though, and have some fun. And I'm sure you've got a lot of great people to write music with. Do you still, outside of Slash and the fellas in Tuke, do you write for other people? Well, do you ever get a chance to collaborate with other people, or are you just so busy with those guys? I don't think I've ever asked you that question, because I know you've played in a whole bunch of bands and you've played with a bunch of different people, but do you get a chance to track drums on anything else right now?
Yeah. It's almost always something is cooking. And I mean, even in the last 5 years, we did make a Slash record. We made a Tuke record. I played on Sass Jordan's record a few years back. I got to play percussion on the Guess Who's recent record, and every one of those records was done in a different environment, different city. So the Sass record, that was done in Calgary. The Guess Who record, I played on stuff while I was in Nashville. The Tuke record would have been done in Vegas and LA, and the Slash record was done in LA. So when I was in Canada last year for a little bit in my hometown, I even did some sessions through another friend of mine while I was home, who has a great studio. So I obviously, if someone says, do you want to come over and write or play on something, the answer is always yes. I mean, that's what I do. And I love the fact that, you know, because we're compromised for traveling, I have been in a few places and still been able to work on music. So the only thing is, you know, I've done a lot of Zoom writing ideas with others, and we have found that, I mean, it's really awesome talking right now to you live with, you know, us having conversation together. And, you know, it's like just any other conversation you're going to have. It's great. Except I find that the music writing, not face to face in the same room, isn't quite the same experience. And I think all of us musicians, even though we're adapting and saying, you know what, okay, well, we don't get to see each other all the time, because a lot of the bands that I play in, everyone's in a different city. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a band where everybody's in the same city. So that gets interesting, and of course, social distancing and just being, you know, respectful of what's going on right now. So, so it's not as fun to, like, you know, I'm getting better with technology and computer stuff. And obviously you got to have every device available, you know, if it's a microphone, if it's cameras, and you know, musicians are usually gearheads anyway. We like gadgets and stuff. So, everybody is improving their studio, home, you know, extra little devices that make things a little bit better. So just like if you're doing coffee, you know, you're getting more hip to a few other tools for your obsession, you know, the things that you love to do. So if you're home and you don't have the, you know, you're missing a few pieces to your coffee little arsenal, then you're on Amazon now and you're trying to buy it and you're like, ah, it's been sold out forever, this tamper I need, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's just, there's going to be a different way of thinking. But to play music, I'm not too sure that I like the idea of like music's going to be exclusively on screens and people are going to enjoy that, because that has been the best journey for playing music and entertaining people and having the experience of going around to other countries and other cultures by playing music live. So it's a really weird thing. You know, how long has it been? It's over a year now that we've you have not been on a plane, Brent Donnelly, or have you?
No, I mean, I've been a couple of little jumper planes. Like I went up North BC and I went over to the island a little bit, but nothing of significance, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm ready for it, but I'm just ready to get back to doing, just like you, I'm ready to get back to doing what I'm best at, which, you know, we worked feverishly hard our whole careers to try to, you know, do what we do best and try, you know, you work hard to do that. So all of us are getting frustrated, I'm sure, in life, but until then, I keep the journey for Java going and trying to find coffee and talking coffee with my buddies, of which I've done today. So everybody, thank you for tuning in this week. That is Brent Fitz, my friend, longtime friend that is now, that has brought me into his coffee journey, a fellow drummer and rad dude that the kids miss terribly. And so they can't wait to see you again. But tell everybody outside of what I put up on the screen here where they can find you online and all the things you're up to.
I'm Brent Fitz everywhere. So I am active on all social media because I enjoy, like I said, the culture of music and coffee and social media go hand in hand. So, yeah, I have been known to post a few pretty awesome. I don't always like to post a photo of myself. So if you scroll through my Instagram, you might be able to connect a dot to a bunch of good coffee photos of Cortados all around the world. And how great is that to share with people, you know, oh, I happen to be in such and such city today. And it's
what started this podcast, buddy, and me doing these stupid coffee posts around the world. And everyone was like, you got to do it. And then I was contacted by my friends over at the Dean Blundell Network. And they're saying, you've got to go ahead and do this and blog about it. And then the world shut down, but we kept going at it. So anyways, it'll keep going. I'm going to keep posting them every single week. Hopefully you guys will keep tuning in. Brent, come back anytime, man. I'd love to have you back because we can keep doing this. And we got to get our friend Ray on and get Frank on and do a whole coffee like thing where we're going to make coffee together. Frank, and do the whole.
You need Frank Sidoris because
that's what I'm saying.
Sometimes I've been, you know, he's my, you know, we're Batman and Robin around the world. And I'm not necessarily Batman or Robin. It's just we're a dynamic duo of coffee lovers, and we happen to play in the same band. But you know, he was smarter than I. Why? Because he went next level and kept all this super important information, which is, you know, I use a lot of Yelp and different apps to keep track of things, but he made notes on his phone. That thing is money. He's got the list of lists. So you should invite Frank on, and if he's willing to share some of the top 10 or something.
He talked about it the last time I had him on, but we didn't get, you know, it was I respected the code and had that thing secretly put away. But next time we're gonna pull some of his spots out of there. So that's what I love it. Frank, if you're listening, we're coming for you.
this is sickness. So this is, I just typed in on my phone coffee in my photos. Can you see that?
I can. Let me just bring you up on the full screen here so we can bring him up there.
Are you watching this, people? This is craziness.
Look at that.
So this is every cup is from a different city and a different country. And it goes and goes. We're talking, this will be India, Russia, France, Japan, it goes on.
It's maybe you should have started this podcast. What am I doing
What's going on here?
Maybe you should have started this Journey for Java. I guess I got a co-host now. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host for the Journey for Java. It's Brent Fitz. Because, yeah, anyways. Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on this week, dude. Let's get Frank on here. Let's get Ray. Let's get everybody in. We'll do some more coffee talk down the road. That's Brent Fitz, my good friend, joining me this week on the Journey for Java, brought to you by my friends at TeamBlundell.com and Blue Microphones, who gave me this Blue Yeti X and these Mixify headphones for, you know, just getting it out there. So thank you to them. Happy birthday, Brent Fitz. Happy anniversary, Brent Fitz. And everybody, we will talk to you next week on the Journey for Java.
I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
It is your favorite girl. That's right, it's the Ali Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.